Good morning. And welcome to worship today. My name is Ruth. I'm the Minister of Community Engagement here at Rosedale United Church. Kristen is on a holiday this weekend. She's with her family for Family Day. They've gone to Montreal to see her son, Nicholas, while he's in university, because he didn't come home, so they've gone to him. So, joining me in leadership today is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and Ben is our soloist for today. Welcome, Ben. Thank you so much. It is good to be together. Today is an incredibly special day for me. I'm so excited. I've been counting the days for this, and I hope you will be as excited as I am. I'm so thrilled to be welcoming Heather Beamish today. I'll introduce Heather fully later, but Heather and Faith, welcome to Rosedale United Church. We're so thankful you're here today. We have coffee hour after worship today, just right through that door, and Heather will be having copies of her book, Homecoming. Mine looks well-loved. It's my constant backpack companion. And so if you'd like to pick up a copy of her book, you can during coffee hour after worship. If you've been getting the Keeping in Touch newsletter, you've been reading parts of this book already, because I've been putting pieces into the Keeping in Touch over the past number of weeks. If you are here with children, please make yourself at home. It's okay to stand and move. There's an area in the back where you can sit and quietly. There's coloring and there's activity packs. And nursery is downstairs for kids under 6 years old. Rosedale United Church is a hub supporting human flourishing in this community and in our city. We are an affirming congregation. This is a community for people of all ages, gender identities, sexual orientations, family configurations, and backgrounds. And we acknowledge today, as we call ourselves to worship, that we do so on land stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for a millennia. We acknowledge the centrality of this land to the spirituality and identity of the Mississaugas, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Wendat. And we are thankful to be worshiping on this land this day. We thank you all for being here. The flowers you see here in the chancel are in loving memory of Jim Spence, a man with a big heart, from his loving family. Wilma, we're thinking of you today. Jim was very sentimental. Every year, he gave Wilma a dozen red roses on Valentine's Day. So it's only fitting that he passed away on Valentine's Day in 2018. His daughter, Joanne, welcome, said it was a fitting day to pass away for somebody who had such a big heart. And we're with you today. Let us stand and share in our call to worship found in your bulletin. Jesus went to the mountain and was changed, transformed. Change is hard for us. You call us, O God, to change our lives, but change is hard for us. You call us, O God, to change our hearts, but change is hard for us. You call us, O God, to change our thinking, but change is hard for us. Open our lives, our hearts, our thinking. Open us, O God, to your loving changes. And let us join together in singing. It's from More Voices, 154, Deep in Our Hearts.
Deep in our hearts, there is a common song.
Deep in our hearts, there's a story that telling creation that we are one. And let us now share in the peace together. Peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Let us share in the peace. And let us spend a moment and share the blessing of our learning. I am a child of God. It's from More Voices 157, verse 1. And our children can go off to the nursery, and we will all bless our learning. Let us pray. God speaks to our hearts, even when we do not hear you. We ask you to speak loudly, O God. Often when we are muted, and yet you never stop speaking. You never stop offering us compassion and hope. God, enliven our minds. Inspire curiosity and wonder. Awaken us to strengthen the sacred connection found in the sacred moments of wonder in nature and in relationships with one another. God, you call us to the mountaintop. Encourage us and inspire extravagant love through unimaginable possibilities. Creating Spirit, we join with the chorus of all of creation to celebrate the wondrous deeds. Fill us with your joy and train our ears for harmony so that we may contribute to the world you are already creating. We wrap all our prayers up in the one that Jesus taught us as we sing together our Lord's Prayer found in your bulletin. So each Sunday, we talk about being a center, a hub for human flourishing. So I ask you this question. What does it mean to you to flourish? And how do we cultivate life from the inside out? Sarah will play some quiet music for a minute while we reflect on those questions.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 to 12. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Thank you, RJ. Let us join together in singing hymn number 135 in your Moy voices, called By Earth and Sky. Verses 1, 2, and 3.
Let's go.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God, we come to you today with a desire to breathe in your love and breathe out your compassion. Like Martin Luther King Jr., we acknowledge we have some difficult days ahead. Our city is groaning in pain as we try to redefine ourselves, as we look at the homeless who are struggling, the struggles of mental health among people. We long to experience the mountaintop that MLK speaks of. Mountaintop experiences when the veil becomes thin and we can see you, O God, clearly. We long for those connections. Like the disciples on the mountain, we want to make a dwelling place for ourselves. Remind us again that you are our dwelling place, that when we encounter you, we are on the mountaintop. We are in awe of your presence among us, that again and again you call us to wonder, to walk a path of discovery that transforms us. May we be able to share that wonder and awe with all those we encounter in and all that we do together and apart. Amen. And now, as we respond to what we have heard and what we are feeling, I invite you to light a candle in honor or of someone you're holding in your heart. Your offering is in the box at the back, this is your time to respond together. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. Sarah will play as people light candles and offer their offering.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. That was beautiful. It is my absolute honor to introduce Heather Beamish. I first heard Heather read her poetry and share her wisdom at the Skylight Festival in 2019. And when I heard her, I thought, I need to know more about this talented person. I got to know her a little better when she spent a week as a writer in residence at Five Oaks last April. And the result of that time can be found in the pages of this book, Homecoming. Heather is a pastor who grew up, my pages are sticky, initially in Havelock and then in Brampton. She's a poet, she's an activist, she's an inspiration, and I'm just so happy to welcome you, Heather, and your wife, Faith, with you today. Please join me in welcoming Heather.
I was boxed in, blocked in, pushed to the bottom. So I grabbed my pen and started shoveling. I didn't see my intersection celebrated on their stages. So I built my own, took paint and Sharpies and drew myself the world I wanted. Now I'm finally home. They refused to give me a hand up. So I wrote my way out, created doors from their bottom floors. Now we have an underground rail route. The truth is, I left them and I blossomed. I left them and I soared, broke through their ceilings and authored myself a life that I adore. So as we co-create this space together, my prayer is that these word seeds would become keys that unlock new dreams and realities for us to live into. That they would inspire strides that cause us to rise and see the world through new eyes. That they would pave a way for our collective homecoming. It is so good to be here with all of you this morning. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much, Ruth. It's a pleasure every time we get to connect. Happy Black History Month. My name is Heather. As mentioned, my pronouns are she and her, and I'm so glad that I am accompanied here today with my best friend, rock, and wife, Faith Beamish. And we're so excited to be here to co-create this space together. And I intentionally say those words because these moments are always the combined energy and faith and expectation. These moments are what we collectively make them. So thank you. And I've been thinking a lot about what I want to say. Ruth reached out to me, gave me some good time to be able to sit with and mull over and pray about what we could talk about today. And I have one goal. I have one goal. And I want today, I want this morning, I want to leave you with a message of hope. It's entitled, I called it Flourishing, because I feel like I've been on a journey, you know, and along that journey I found some beautiful medicines that has helped me to flourish. So part of my story is that 7 years ago, I left my pastoring job, I left my community in Brampton because I came out. And for a long time, I let my story kind of end there, just with this, like, you know, my family rejected me, my church kicked me out. Wah. Like, you know, that was in that, and it, and the truth is I needed to sit there for a while because I needed to feel like my pain and the homophobia I experienced and the suffering that I experienced because of that, I felt like I needed it to be validated. I needed people to see that I was hurting. And the truth is the journey didn't end there for me. And it feels really, really good to be back in church spaces with community and in spaces that I can show up and be my full self. Because now I know that all of my glittering edges and identities are loved and cherished by Creator. And it's really beautiful to be able to come to a service and to see that reflected in the liturgy. So thank you. Thank you for being a space that is unashamedly affirming, that makes it safe and welcoming. I loved seeing in the Lord's Prayer our loving parent. Like the language that you've chosen to weave into the liturgy reflects those beliefs. So that feels good to be back in spaces where I feel like I can show up. But I found along the journey, I found medicines that helped me flourish, medicines that helped me heal. And I've been working at extracting some of those cancerous, shameful mindsets that I was handed about who I was. So this morning, I want to talk you through, and there's four medicines that helped me heal. And I'm just going to quickly just kind of tell you a little bit of my story as I share these with you. And the first medicine that helped me heal was my faith. So I grew up in church, kind of. My parents split when I was young, and so I lived with my dad in Havelock, and then my mom moved to Brampton. And so every other weekend when I visited my mom in Brampton, we would go to church. And I don't just mean we'd go to church on Sunday. We went to church the whole time. I like to think of, I always say that I was a drug child. My mama drugged me to youth group. She drugged me to prayer meetings. She drugged me to everything that the church had going on. The youth pastor would come up to me and be like, "Oh, Heather, I'm so excited you're coming to the conference." I was like, "I am." My mama had signed me up, got me all registered. I was there at every function. The whole weekend, I would go there and spend at church. And you know what? I loved it. For me, my faith became really rooted when I was in middle school. And during service, I would always come. My mom said we had to come to church every Sunday. We had to bring our Bible, and we had to bring a notebook. And so while the preacher was talking to keep us engaged, she said, you take notes, you write down verses you like that you're hearing, and that is your personal notebook. So when I'd go back to Havelock, after every weekend, I would go through my notebook, and I would write out all the scriptures that were talked about that really resonated with me. And I would write them out. I had this separate notebook, and I had all my favorite scriptures. And so over time, that notebook was full of verses, you know, like, you've been created with a purpose and a destiny. I have Psalms 23 in there. I had all these scriptures that just made me feel seen and celebrated, and I would read those scriptures every night. No one was looking over me. No one was making sure. I would read those scriptures every night, and I just felt in the scriptures I found purpose, and I discovered a creator that loved me. I discovered that I could be part of a bigger collective vision. And at that age, I fell in love with the scriptures. I fell in love with the creator that I found. And so it was no surprise to my family that fast forward a number of years, when I'm graduating high school, I told them I want to go to Georgia. I want to go to Bible school to be able to study ministry because I feel drawn to the ministry. And her dad was a pastor, his dad was a pastor, his dad was a pastor. It's all, so my family was just like, okay, this is awesome, no surprise. So when I had to step away from my community, it was a really hard experience. Because those same scriptures that I fell in love with, that I found purpose in, that I met Jesus in, those same scriptures were used to clobber and exclude me from my community. Those same scriptures were used in my denomination to tell me that I'm an abomination, that God doesn't love me, there's something wrong with you, you need to pray that away, you need to fast, that's, you know, and so it was a complicated, there was a wrestle there, you know, it was complicated. And so I left, I needed to step away because I needed to figure out for me, what does this all mean? I couldn't keep on hiding and trying to change myself. I had dated so many people, I got engaged, but I just felt like this part wasn't disappearing. And it started to actually affect my mental and physical health. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna step away and I'm gonna see what the universe, what God has for me. And over these past 7 years, I have encountered a beautiful creator that is expansive, and her love reaches beyond the four walls of the church, and we know this, right? I have found that when you go wandering, our shepherd comes looking for her beautiful lost sheep, and I have discovered fantastic people, and my faith has only been strengthened. It's been deepened. And I've fallen more and more in love with a beautiful, compassionate Savior. And I wrote this piece just to talk about why I'm still here. Because sometimes my gay friends, I have to come out to them and be like, I'm a Christian. And to my Christian friends, I have to come out to them and be like, I'm gay. And so sometimes I'm doing a lot of coming out and people don't understand, like, why are you still in these spaces? And this piece captures why. Jesus surrendered his privilege and power to elevate marginalized voices. He was countercultural and subversive with each and every one of his choices. He came to earth and embodied how perfect love would interact with my humanity. His commitment to love and inclusion highlights the core essentials of Christianity. He was courageously vulnerable, nurturing, and bold. He spoke truth to power and accepted everyone into his fold. Messy people never made him uncomfortable or nervous. He stood up for what he cared for. It was never just lip service. This is why I have chosen to let my guard down and lean into a power that makes all things new. This is why I won't walk away from a God who enters into my darkness to guide me through. These seeds of fire. This resilient life that won't be aborted. Each decision to keep showing up. My community that keeps me supported. New. Every day we are being made new. Yeah, so the first medicine that helped me heal was my faith. And I'm so thankful for my faith. And the second one is the land. The land. So I grew up in the country. I grew up in Havelock in a small town. And my days were spent outside, like all summer, all winter, all the time. We were just outside. I had three brothers, and we spent a lot of time playing, exploring, building, like catching crayfish in the river. Like, I spent my days outside. But, you know, as I moved to the city, and as you grow up, and like life gets busier, I felt like I got a little estranged from the land. But COVID, and even my time at Five Oaks was so beautiful, just for helping me slow down. And one thing I love about nature is how you can just exhale. You know, there's so much beauty. I feel like going out into the forest, being by water, that's my favorite. I love that Toronto has a lake shore. My wife and I live in the Parkdale, Queen West area, and so during COVID, I would spend so much time just down by the water, and most of my book was actually written in the parks and fields around the city. And I just feel like I love the land because its spirit is tangible as you slow down. And I feel like the land has helped inspire so much creativity. I think that's a beautiful part about nature, is it inspires art. You know, you look at the flowers and you look at the diversity of all of creation and you're just like, wow. And it inspires art for me, and it wants me to slow down and say thank you. So this piece I actually wrote while I was at Five Oaks, and that was such a beautiful time. Literally just spent the whole days like in the field with my notebook, and I called this piece The Best Host. My body knows these trees. Generations of rock and soil flow through the rich streams of my blood. I am of her, and her I. We are one. My body opens up as she slowly remembers how these branches have held centuries of community gathering. For the land, she is the best host. She is my daily bread, supporting, sustaining, and satisfying us all. I tilt my head back in joyful abandon, a grateful response for the generous nourishment she has laid before us. So I found healing and flourishing through the medicine of my faith, through the medicine of the land. And the next medicine that's helped me flourish is art. I always like to ask, people, sometimes I do writing workshops and that kind of thing, and I always ask the room, how many people here would you say you're creative? How many here would you say you're creative? Yeah, how many people, okay. Yeah, and I feel like a lot of times people who aren't specifically, like, I'm not surprised that you two put your hands up, your music was beautiful today, but a lot of times people who are like a part of the creative art scene, like in some sort of have, you know, dance or paint or sing or play music, they're like, oh yeah, of course me. But a lot of times people don't see themselves or opportunities for creative outlets when they don't have one of those specific things. And for a long time, I didn't classify myself as an artist. I grew up playing sports. I was like, that was my thing, captain of every team, and like I loved sports. I was an athlete, right? I was like, I'm not an artist, I'm an athlete. But as I was going through my coming out experience, I just felt like I had a lot of feelings. There was a lot of feelings I had to process, and I've always been a big journaler, and I just found myself writing poems about how I was feeling. Just it came out through poetry. And art is this beautiful, gracious, patient container, and I am so thankful for art because it's helped heal me. It's helped deepen my connections to myself, to others, to the land. Art asks us to be authentic and vulnerable. You know, like when you're creating a piece, you don't have to show up with any pretense. Art just lets you be. It takes all my dramatic feelings and just holds them. And the beautiful thing about art is that a lot of times as you pour your pain or your emotion or whatever you're going through into the container of art, it creates this beautiful alchemy, and it takes that and it transforms it. And a lot of my pieces, although they've been born out of, you know, like hard times and wrestling, internal wrestling, I love how art can take those things and turn them into something that makes room for connection. I love that about art. You know, whenever you take time to share art, there's always a story behind it. And it's an opportunity, it's an invitation into somebody else's world, into what they're thinking and feeling and what they've experienced. I love how art, I love using art as an avenue for education, inspiration, and activism. There's a lot of times I get to tell my story through my art, because that's what I create my art out of my story through my art. And so it's a great avenue just for just opening, giving people a different experience. I think representation is so important. That's why I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here, to be able to tell the journey and the story, to be able to celebrate Black History Month with you. But art has been a beautiful and wonderful tool. And sometimes it's hard to let ourselves sit in that discomfort, the discomfort of, you know, the rawness of our feelings. But art makes room for all those messy, dark, human emotions. And I wrote this piece just to talk a little bit about that. Uncomfortable questions and unfair endings. Incomplete sentences and unrepairable mendings. There's no ribbon that can package this neatly. No bow placement that can hide the ugly. No pat answer that can be slapped on bandage style to this gaping, aching, God-forsaking hole. This is what it looks like to authentically sit in the middle of the journey. No hurry. This is what it looks like to surrender and give way to the cycle of death and new birth, seeds in the earth, letting your unprocessed self, your imperfect self, your nappy-headed, makeup-smeared version of you, true self, letting her come out. Letting her emerge from behind the curtain, ready or not. But let's be honest, showing up to your own story isn't easy. The easy way is the way of hardening, the way of flexing, picture-perfect family complexing. The easy way is the way of projecting, self-protecting, staying so busy you don't have time to face your own life, neglecting. The easy way is the way of ignoring. The way of conforming, putting lipstick and bow ties on your vices, performing. But the easy way is empty. So ease away. I said the easy way is broken. So ease away. Yeah, so as you can tell, art has been a big part of my healing journey, just holding and processing all of the feelings. And I encourage you, if you have not explored or gone to art as an outlet recently, I encourage you, we're all creative. We're all made in Creator's image, and we're all creative. It is a beautiful, beautiful tool, and a great container for all of the complicated, complex feelings. So, my faith, the land, art, these have all been big things. And the last thing that I want to talk about today that's helped me in my flourishing is community. Community. And since coming out, this topic, community, has been a little complicated. It's been a little bit of a complicated journey for me. I'm sure you can understand why. A lot of people in my life that I had invested in and surrounded myself with left me when I came out. And it was integrated because my university friends, I went to Bible school in Georgia, and all of my university friends, they were like, nah, because we went to a conservative Christian university. And then my church community that I had, after graduating high school, I started interning at my church, and every summer would go back and intern there, and then worked there for 6 years after I moved back from the States in Brampton. And when I came out, they said, nah. And then my family, who comes from a huge line of pastors, and they were very, they're very religious, and culturally also, I come from a, I'm part Jamaican. So half my family is Jamaican, and the other half is Métis and Irish. And so it was really hard for my family. And so community has been this complicated thing. And I just had my guards up for a long time. I didn't let people in. I was just like, ah, nice. I love people. But I didn't let people get too close. Because I didn't trust. I didn't trust their intentions. I didn't trust if they were going to, there was room for all of me. But as I've been on this journey, I have found amazing people. I love the city that we live in. Toronto is honestly like a gem in this world. You know, there is, in Toronto, there's so much room. My wife and I can walk down the streets of our neighborhood and openly hold hands. And, you know, for the most part, like, rarely does anyone ever even bat an eye, because it's so normal. There's so much diversity, and that has been the biggest exhale for me. As a result, we've been able to find friends and build new Christian community and find new connections, and all of this has helped me heal. And the truth, this has been so life-changing. Because now I feel like I'm showing up in spaces as my full self. I'm making community and connections with people that are actually, it's deep, it's authentic, it's meaningful. And it's really exciting because I know that transformation within the bigger context for us happens as a result of community, right? It's a collective, it's where two or three are gathered. We can do so much together. And I'm excited and thankful to be given the opportunity again to be able to show up and to be able to have healed up so that I can once again join and be part of community. Be part of community that's dreaming, be part of community that's making strides to make difference. And I wrote this last piece. It's called Follow the Way. And I wrote it as a prayer and as a commitment to how I want to show up in community. The truth is that love has healed and grounded me. Sometimes the word love can feel flat or empty because of its overuse, but I believe that we have the ability to heal the world through love. I believe that love is powerful, and through the patient, kind, generous, humble love that the Bible talks about, we can make transformation. I love the verse that says in John 13:35, it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And that happens in community, right? Love is our legacy. And so I wrote this prayer as a prayer and as a call to action. And I wrote this piece as one that's meant to be done together. So as my last piece, I would like to invite you to join me in doing this piece. So during the refrain in this piece, I say the words, "We will follow the way of love." And I want to invite you to echo that back to me when I say that. So why don't we pause and do a little practice? We will follow the way of love.
We will follow the way of love.
Okay, y'all sound good. Okay, so that's gonna come up in the chorus or the refrain of the piece. And when I say those words, just as you beautifully did, please echo them. We will follow the way of love.
We will follow the way of love.
Letting her tender nudges guide us, letting her persistent presence heal us. Drape our eyes with filters of compassion. Consume our hearts with visions of hope. We will follow the way of love. May our hands stay soft and reaching, and our mouths be fountains of healing. May our desire be our prayer, and our work bring about the manifestation. May our visions be filled with fields of possibility, and our faithfulness bring about the harvest. Because that's when judgment and fear depart. Because that's when liberation and transformation start. We will follow the way of love, letting her tender nudges guide us, letting her persistent presence heal us. Drape our eyes with filters of compassion. Consume our hearts with visions of hope. We will follow the way of love. Above all, we ask for wisdom. Before all, we seek understanding. We will embody her character and stay loyal to what love is commanding. I said, above all, we ask for wisdom. Before all, we seek understanding. We will embody her character and stay loyal to what love is commanding. We will follow the way of love, letting her tender nudges guide us, letting her persistent presence heal us. Drape our eyes with filters of compassion. Consume our hearts with visions of hope. We will follow the way of love. Ah, y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. I love that piece. I love that piece. That's the prayer, right? I feel like that's... love is where all the transformation happens, when we live into love. And so those are the medicines that have helped me flourish. Those are the medicines along the way, abiding in the love of my Creator, building authentic community, channeling all of the emotions into art that can then be used to share, and spending time on the land. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about my journey of self-discovery and empowerment, as Reverend Ruth mentioned, I'll be selling my book after. I call it my poetic memoir. I think I made up a whole new genre, but necessary. I call it a poetic memoir because I frame each chapter starts with storytelling. So I think that the pastor in me would just never, that storytelling, that connecting piece, that reflection piece, I had to weave it into my book as well. So each chapter starts with a story and then is followed by poems that go along with that topic. So in my book, I talk about, spirituality, I talk about race and empowerment, I talk about my journey through unpacking shame and stepping into pride. And all of these things are categorized into themes. And then after each theme, I pair it with poetry that I've written about that theme. So please come say hi. My wife and I will be here for coffee, but may we allow the love of our beautiful Creator to ground us, root us. May we abide in that love and bear much fruit. May we be people who live into the invitation to be all that we've been created to be, to author a life that we are proud of. May we follow the way of love. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh.
We will follow the way of love as we sing our closing hymn. It's in Voices United, number 578, As a Fire is Meant for Burning. Welcome home to transformation. Welcome home to flourishing. Welcome home to sharing ourselves with others. And as we leave this sacred time together, remember that you may be the only gospel your neighbor reads this week. So write the vision and make it plain. Go in peace. Amen.